It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hey, 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 welcome to Border Crossings. We are here. We are downtown in D.C. We're glad you are where you are. On the other side of the radio, we've got a great show for you today. Hollis Brown are back in the house. They have a new album out. We'll be talking to Hollis Brown on today's Border Crossing. So stick around. Border Crossings, we welcome you to the Voice of America. My name's Larry London, and in our studios today, we have three guys who are on tour for a brand new album called Three Shots. They're three guys. They are Hollis Brown. We welcome Hollis Brown to D.C. Guys, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having us.
It's great to have you back in the studios here at VOA. This is the second time around for you guys.
Second time, yeah.
And a lot of things have changed since the last time we spoke. You have a brand new album,
which
is Three Shots, that just came out at the beginning of May. Mm-hmm.
May 5th.
Yeah. So that's exciting. You guys must be really, really pumped.
Yeah, we are really pumped. We got to make the new record, which was a great thrill for us to be able to record new music, you know. We were on tour in Europe last year quite a bit and all over the States. I think we did like 120 shows in 10 or 11 countries. So it was a good year for us. And now we're back with the new record and ready to hit the road again to support it.
Yeah, well, 11 countries. So did you have a favorite experience in any country? Did you like one more than another?
Depends who you ask.
Yeah.
Well, good. Share your experiences. Like to hear that because we're broadcasting to many countries right now. Right. So.
Yeah, the Netherlands is always good to us. That I love it over there. And it was our first time going over to Spain. So Madrid was really...
That's your favorite. Why? Yeah, what happened
really
there?
Really beautiful,
yeah. Put it apart from the others.
That's a different question and a different story. But I like
well, the show was sold
Keep
out.
Keep it clean. It's
so
a
that
family
helped.
Show.
We sold out our Madrid show.
Yeah, that helped. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
And the locals took us around and...
Yeah, it was a good time.
Very fun.
We can't talk about some of this stuff on the air.
Behind the curtains. Right. Do you get to eat a lot of the food when you go and taste the native foods?
Yeah. Not so much in England, but the Italians really love to feed you.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
the Spanish love to feed you, too. Yeah,
yeah.
All the Romance languages like to treat you well.
And what's the plan for the year ahead? You guys are on the road with Counting Crows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing a 40-city tour with the Counting Crows and Citizen Cope. Then we go back to Europe for headlining tour for 5 weeks, I think. And then that'll be most of the year. You know, we're on tour now with a band called Gringo Star. Mm-hmm. We start on Friday for 2 weeks. And then we start the Counting Crows tour mid-July. And we're also doing some summer stage stuff in New York City in June. So we'll be busy playing a lot, you know. Yeah.
From your perspective, what's the difference in the crowds you play outside of the U.S. versus the crowds you play in the U.S.?
Well, I think the crowds in Europe, I always say this same line, but we're kind of exotic when we go over there because we're from America. So they're a little more excited and a little more anxious to see what kind of chops we have since we went all the way over there to play music, you know. But here, you know, we're just a band from New York and people kind of see that a lot. Mm-hmm. More often coming through town, so it's a little harder to get them up and get them excited and get them into it, but you know, and hospitality in Europe is a lot nicer, you know.
Much
we
better.
Each get our own hotel room and stuff.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool, you
there's
know?
No yeah, sleeping in the back of the van.
Yeah, there's no pitching a tent anywhere.
Surreal moment. There I go, here's the key, and we're like, oh nice, we get two rooms, and they're like, no, that's your key, here's your key, here's your key.
Oh, very
so cool.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Something.
Now, you guys started your group, I think, what, 2009 or something like that?
Yeah, 2009.
And how did you meet? Were you friends before, or was
it a chance,
or how did it happen?
I met John Bonilla, who's the other guitar player in the band. We went to high school together in New York and Queens, and we had written a bunch of songs, and we wanted to, it took us a couple years to, you know, write songs that we thought were any good, and we wanted to put a band together to see what we can do, and Dylan joined the band because he's our bass player, and he is our first manager, who's a friend of ours named Albert Barabbas. He was helping us out, get gigs, and just get our feet wet, and it's his cousin, and he lived in Cleveland. So he said, oh, we're looking for a bass player. Oh, my cousin's a bass player, but he lives in Cleveland, so he moved to New York, literally,
wow,
just to be in the band, so it's pretty cool.
That's loyalty. That's
yeah.
dedication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so you said, you know, you waited a while to see if you could write some good songs.
Yeah.
I want
you
to expand
first...
on that. What do you mean by writing good songs versus not writing
well,
good songs?
Well, I think
songs?
You have to write bad songs first, you know. I
What's
think
the difference between a bad and a good song?
You tell me, you know. I could think it's good and you could think it's bad. But I don't know. I think it's more about being able to put chord progressions together and lyrics and stuff that actually have a meaning and aren't just throwaway, you know, like where you get one good lyric and then the next line is like kind of so-so or like the hook is not that strong, you know. So I think it's just, it's like anything you do. If you do it enough, you get better at it, you know. So I think for us, we had to kind of find our voice and find our collaboration and see what worked for us because we were listening to a lot of Velvet Underground stuff and we're from Queens, so all the people were listening to, like, hardcore and, like, heavy metal and all this kind of stuff. And we were, like, you know, we're more into, like, Lou Reed and Ziggy Stardust and David Bowie and stuff. So we were a little different from everyone else with our writing process. So it took us a little while to connect, I think.
You know? All right. Well, we're glad you're in our studios, and Three Shots is the name of the new EP or album. It's a full studio album.
Full-length,
it's not an
EP.
It's full album, complete with artwork. Now, what is the artwork that I'm seeing? It looks like a bullet hole.
Yeah.
So explain that. I mean, three shots, bullet hole. What's the concept that's going on with it?
Well, the concept of the song is it's kind of about violence in America and mm-hmm. how it's a very violent time where you see all this stuff going on with people going into movie theaters and going into random places that when we were growing up, or even schools, you know, and like mm-hmm. I never had to worry about a student, one of my peers, shooting me, you know. So it's weird time for America, I think, with violence and just the way society accepts it, and it's desensitized a little mm-hmm. where like where Columbine happened and everybody was, this is a big deal for weeks and months, all we're talking about is mourning this, and now it happens and the next day the news cycle is like, okay, it happened and we're mm-hmm. moving on, you know. So it's kind of weird for me to see that happening to people, you know.
It's very interesting because, you know, our audience has experienced what we're, you know, experiencing here. It's been Middle East
has been Middle East,
at
Paris,
war and unrest for years, and
right.
and in France, as you mentioned, and in Africa, and Burundi,
England.
And Nigeria with Boko Haram, and all the things going on all over the world right now. There's a lot of problems and unrest, and so this is a very timely message.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we don't get used to it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, that's great. Well put. Hollis Brown in our studio is going to perform for us right now.
Yeah, it's Three Shots, the title track.
Perfect.
Yeah, good timing.
What a segue.
Thank you.
Three Shots, Hollis Brown, here on Border Crossings. The guys are out on tour. MTV said some great things about you. Spin Magazine's written some nice things about you. It's got to feel good. It's kind of, you know, affirmation what you're doing is being heard and being well-received. But probably nothing is better and bigger than the fans when you go and perform. And more seats are filling up. You're playing larger venues. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It's kind of like you don't believe that it's happening sometimes, you know. But,
what's the biggest change since, you know, last time you were here? You only had a song. Now you got an album. Obviously, that's a change. But what have you noticed different about things that are happening to Hollis Brown these days than when you started?
I think for the first time, I really noticed it at this past South by Southwest. You know, it was like our fifth one or something. And I think it's starting to grow outside of things that we do, like things that we try and promote and stuff. It's like kind of organically growing, like people sharing it and people showing their friends. And I've talked to people like, oh my gosh, my friend showed me your music, I love it, now I love it too. So that's the biggest thing I've noticed, and that's the all you can hope for.
Yeah, as a band, it's really starting to be where, you know, and internationally also, but people that we have no idea who they are telling us stories about how stuff influence, you know, their life and stuff, and it's like crazy.
Well, give me some ideas. Give me more input.
Yeah, there was this one that I still think about. I was thinking about it the other day, actually. There was a woman who just tweeted about it, and she has a, I think she has a daughter or something with some type of disease. I think it's cerebral palsy or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what she has, and she was listening to, she tweeted at us that there was a song off our first record called When the Weather's Warm, and like her daughter never speaks, and that she put the song on, and she said, oh, she was singing along with the song, and then she was like, said she was crying for days about how her daughter actually spoke during one of our singing our song. So it was like incredible, you know? And that's why we make music, you know.
Right, and music reaches people of every language, every culture. Music is, as we've said many times and heard people say, is the universal language.
Yeah,
you know, so that is great when you can, you know, make a difference in someone's life.
Yeah, and even going to these countries, you know, where people don't speak English, you know, and they know our songs, you know, it's
that's
really
blow
brings
you away,
people
huh?
together. Yeah, you know,
there's a couple in Newcastle in England that their first date, I think the first time they really hung out was at our first show when we played in Newcastle. They had a great time. They loved the music. They bought all the CDs. And then the next time we came back, the guy came up to us, like, off to the side. He's like, I'm going to propose to her. You know, if you guys are the first, can I come up in the middle of your set? And he came up and proposed
on
between
stage.
Songs.
Pretty cool.
And she said?
She said yes.
Maybe.
Okay, good.
I'll think
that
about
makes
it.
For a happy ending, doesn't it?
Yeah, they asked us to play the wedding, but I think we're going to be on tour.
Yeah, we can't do it.
Unfortunate.
She said, I don't know. We'll see.
It's exciting times for Hollis Brown, you know, on the road internationally and here in the United States. That certainly keeps you busy. If people want to get the new album, I imagine it's not only iTunes and Amazon and now probably Tidal, but where else can
Spotify.
My gosh, the list is growing.
Record stores,
you know, our website,
your website.
Yeah,
that's where we were
store,
leading
yeah,
to.
That's
the key
one.
Is what's your website?
HollisBrown.com.
HollisBrown.com. Where'd you come up with the name, Hollis Brown?
It's actually a song that Bob Dylan wrote called The Ballad of Hollis Brown. It's off of like one of his early records. I think it's Times They Are a Changing record. And we wanted to just be great songwriters like him and carry on like a lineage of great American music. So mm-hmm. kind of
that's
pick,
fantastic.
Pick
who are you guys listening to? Who inspires you?
Mm. Right now, you mean?
Right now.
Well, I mean, we did a cover album for Record Store Day last year, and it was the Velvet Underground's record, mm-hmm. Loaded. We just redid the record for Record Store Day, and it sold out pretty quick. So they obviously, I love Lou Reed. I think just anybody who's great, you know, we all are inspired by different people.
I think the songwriting is the one, you know, we all have different things that we, mm-hmm. different areas we go into, but good songwriters is one recurring thing. I've been hard into Willie Nelson lately.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Been
yeah,
Willie
Nelson's great. Mm-hmm. We saw him at South by Southwest. Yeah. It was incredible.
A magical experience.
Really What's cool. the process for writing songs? I mean, you do it together, you contribute one, you contribute
every
one.
Every song is different. I mean, usually like me and Adam just wrote a song. We just came over my house and we just kind of get together and get the chord progression and figure out what we want to say lyrically, you know. And then usually one of us will fine tune it. Usually I'll be like, okay, let me just make sure the order is good so we could present it and demo it. And we'll demo it at the house. And then we take it to the band and you know, the rhythm section will see it a certain way and change it, you know, and then the guitars will change it, and then the vocals will adjust, and then we go to a producer and changes again.
It changes all the time.
It's changing right now, actually, because we don't usually play acoustic. So it's, yeah.
Well, we're glad that you guys come in and do this for us. Thank you very much. I know it's a very different, as you said, from what you normally do on stage. Where's the strangest place you ever got inspiration for a song?
The strangest place I got it, we were in Paris, and I was vacationing there after our tour, and I was walking around all week trying to find some type of inspiration for it. I couldn't find a single thing, and it was really strange to me. And then I went to this Salvador Dali exhibit, museum, actually, in Montmartre in Paris, and I saw this painting called Girl in a Window, and that was just inspired me. So I wrote a song, actually, about the painting. So, and it made the record. It's on the record. It's called Mi Amor.
Wow.
And so that was pretty weird for me, because I never thought another piece of art would be a basis
for create another
for a thing.
Piece of art.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. How about you guys? Tough question?
Well, I'm not much of a lyricist. I wish I was more, you know, I love Mike's lyrics, but bass playing, tons of inspiration just from a lot of the guys that I look up to. But songwriting, you know, you'll hear something. You know, you'll have not rip something off, but you'll be like, oh, you know, like
we don't steal,
we don't steal. You know, it's like
blurred lines. I mean, yeah. Wait a minute, no.
Right. But no, it's like, what if we tried something like this feel wise? I mean, that's probably more of what I write for the band. It's more of like the rhythm aspect. Me and the drummer.
So, who do you think is the best bass guitarist in the history of music?
It's a tough one.
Yes,
probably
it is.
James Jamerson.
All right.
Or Paul McCartney.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
It's Hollis Brown in our studios. I'm going to ask you guys to do another song for us.
Sure.
If you would. What's this one called?
What do you think? We'll do Sandy. It's called Sandy.
Sandy. Yeah. All right.
Sweet Sandy, won't you be my love? Won't you be my love? I need a hold. Lucifer's place.
Hollis Brown in our studios, Sandy, and that's off Three Shots from the new album, their debut album, which just came out recently in May. Second album?
Second record.
Second album?
Yeah.
Wow. You go. Look at you guys. So tell me about this new album. What makes it different from the last one? I read somewhere you wanted to make this one bigger than anything you've done before. How do you make something bigger?
Well, or polished,
I guess. The first record was kind of a real garage band record. We kind of just sat in a circle in Nashville. We went to a guy named Adam Landry's house, and he has a studio in his backyard. It's pretty much a garage, like a shack, you know. And we recorded it real vintage style, right to tape, no digital, no anything, you know, all live vocals, everything live. So it's kind of a more of a indie feel and a garage rock feel. And then with this one, we wanted to, you know, we saw growth happening with us, and we wanted to expand the sound, and we did a more of a digital kind of modern recording, I guess, you know. So this one is a little bigger. It's a little more in your face, I guess. And it, I don't know, it's a little more modern, I guess is the right word for it. And just bigger production overall. It doesn't sound like we're, you know, an indie rock band. It sounds
right,
like we're...
Right. Is the hope to become a major label sign? I mean, is that what you really are hoping for? Or are you happy in the world, the indie world?
I wouldn't say necessarily a major label, but we want to be biggest band in the world.
Biggest band in the world.
Stadiums, yeah.
Well, that would be great. You're on your way. I mean, you've been playing around the world. You're selling out wherever you go. So that's fantastic stuff that's been happening. Introduce yourselves. I know there's a fourth guy who's not here with in
John Bonilla. He's a guitar player.
But you guys introduce yourselves because we do have three of them.
Yeah, we have a five-piece.
Oh, there's five. There's another guy.
Keep adding.
He overslept. Wow.
We don't need him. I'll just play tambourine.
Andrew Zainal is a drummer.
Okay.
John Bonilla is a guitarist.
Okay.
I'm Mike Montali. I'm a singer and play guitar.
I'm Adam Bach. I play keyboard and sing.
And Dylan DeVito, I play bass and sing.
All right, five guys on the road. Hollis Brown is the band.
that's
a lot of fun.
One way to put it.
That's a lot of fun. So what is your favorite part of being you? I mean, being in a rock band. What's the best part of being in a band, doing what you do?
For me, it's creating new material. I love writing. Mm-hmm. I love writing music, you know. So that's my favorite thing.
You ever suffer writer's block? Does that ever...
Yeah, some, I don't know. I don't really view it that way. It's kind of sometimes the faucet is on and sometimes it's off, you know. Mm-hmm. So when it's on, you get like, better make sure you get something out of it, you know.
Well, that's one of the big pluses of working for an indie is that you don't have that pressure. We need more material. We need more material, you know, so you can do it at your own pace.
I feel like that's killed a lot of bands when they just have to pump stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, the old saying is you get like, your whole life to write your first record, and then you get like 6 months to write your second one. So it's tough to keep up.
How long did it take to make this album?
Well, we put the last one out in 2013, so that was our first one.
Right.
And then last year we did the Record Store Day, so I guess it's been 2 years pretty much.
2 years in the process.
Right.
And I know that you recorded a song and featured Bo Diddley, but I mean, you didn't record with him.
No, he died,
you know.
But we played a show in New Jersey at like a live house concert series called Live at Drew's, and a rep from the Bo Diddley estate was there, and she saw us play, and she said, oh, you know, Bo Diddley had all these unfinished kind of demos and stuff that he'd been working on before he passed away, like vaults. She said there's like hours and hours of material, and we were like, we have to hear it, we have to hear it. So it took a while to actually get her to release the songs to us, you know. And then we heard this demo, and it was this really lo-fi kind of thing. That was it was all him, though. It was
like a bedroom recording.
Yeah, and you could tell it was him. And then she said, "What do you, you know?" So we said, "What do we? Maybe we can add something to this, kind of like pushing a little bit." Mm-hmm. She said, "Yeah, maybe that would be a great idea, you know." So we knew we were recording for the new record, and we thought it would be kind of a cool collaboration or feature. So we kind of hurried the process up and forced them into getting us a studio time so we could go in, and we did the whole thing in one day.
Wow.
So it was pretty...
Yeah, in a different studio in a different place than we recorded the rest of the album.
Converse Rubber Tracks
in Brooklyn, New York.
They've been really good to us.
Well, the industry's, you know, certainly changed over the years. Now, you know, you can do things like making records in different studios.
Right.
You can be...
Right.
You can all put your pieces down in different places on computer, laptop, whatever, you know, and you can all mix it together. Unlike the old garage band days where it was done in a
all
garage
in
and
session,
everybody in one take and then there you go.
You missed that note that one time. You got to do the whole thing.
Do the whole album.
Well, I think as long as you have the same person mixing it, you know, I think that means a lot because then it gives it a cohesive feel, you know. So you can take tracks from all. I mean, we have three different producers on this. Don DeLago was the main producer. We recorded with him in the Poconos. And then Adam Landry did one track, Wait For Me, Virginia. And then Kieran Kelly did the Bo Diddley one. Mm-hmm. But we all had it mixed by the same guy. His name is John in Yellow. And he's just brilliant. So it kind of made it cohesive and made it, you don't realize that it was all over the place and it took, you know, three different cities to record this thing.
Well, I enjoy your music. You guys sound great. I like the new album, Three Shots. It's Hollis Brown in our studios. I'll ask if you wouldn't mind doing another
song
for us.
All right.
Which one's this?
Make sure I'm in tune. This one's called Cathedral. It's the first song.
May the light shine down upon your shoulder. Upon your shoulder and show you the way. And may you be blessed by the hands of mercy. May the hands of mercy show you the way.
On the Voice of America. This is Border Crossings. The new CD is called Three Shots. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you.
And since you're headed out on the road internationally after the tour with Counting Crows, where can people find the dates, the website again?
HollisBrown.com or just go to our Facebook page.
And you guys like will reach out and talk directly to the fans.
Absolutely.
Talk right to us if you want to.
If you want to, if you dare. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for coming in. This is Border Crossings. I'm Larry London. Stay tuned. There's much more coming your way here on The Voice of America.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
Just do our thing, no time to waste. Always play it cool. And at the end of the night, when the lights go, why will we turn down? Oh, no, we won't.
We ain't never turned down. We ain't never turned down.
And when they try to make us leave, we turn and say we're never going home.
And you know just what I want to do.
Shot.
I wanna leave with somebody.
Come on.
just what I wanna do. I wanna rock with somebody. Yeah. I wanna take shots with somebody.
Shots.
I wanna leave with somebody.
Come on.
And we ain't gotta tell nobody. We ain't gotta tell nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah.
In the club like what? We be in the party in the club like what? In the club like we be in your city gon' dumb like what?
Just what I wanna do. I wanna rock with somebody.
Yeah.
I wanna take shots with somebody.
Shots.
I wanna leave with somebody.
Come on.
And we ain't gotta tell nobody. We ain't gotta tell nobody.
Border Crossings, and we're listening to a song called Somebody, which was inspired by a Whitney Houston song. And that is Natalie LaRose and Jeremiah singing the song for Bella Aliyu, who requested the song on Facebook today on Border Crossings. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry London. As we continue along with requests and dedications to wrap up the second half of our show, we also have our Now 54 CD giveaway that's coming up in a few minutes. Before we do that, let's listen to a request from Joseph Agba Joe, who says, I love the songs that you play, and I would like to hear the Dixie Chicks and a song called Cowboy, Take Me Away.
Something wild.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
Neo, and he is from Las Vegas, Nevada. His real name is Schaefer Smith. It's a request from G. Jor in Ghana, who asked us to play that for a little sister celebrating a birthday today. And so a happy birthday to G. Jor's little sister. G. Jor did not mention her name, so I don't know, but I do want to say happy birthday. And G. Jor said, I love your show. Well, we love you back in Ghana, so thanks for listening, Neo. So sick of love songs. It's Border Crossings. And I want to say hello to Adam McNeil, who's in Melbourne, Australia, listening to 88.9 FM. Clement Oko and Clement Gomer are also tuned in to Border Crossings. Augustino, Iab, Abdi, Wesley, Deb Kamal, Candia, Donna Toos. And we've got some new Facebook friends, Yordi Gurma, Isis, Yebel Tal, Shumbale, Haba Mohammed, Nati Teske, Ake Ronald, Diana Chapman, Bernard Soa, Leah Afrik Temba, Mohammed Al Hassan, Bawa Pius. We also heard from Fikadu Andualem. So thank you all for becoming fans of our Facebook page. Time now for our CD giveaway on Border Crossings. It's the Now 54 CD. With songs from Fall Out Boy, Maroon 5, Pitbull, Ariana Grande, Nick Jonas, Natalie LaRose, the song we just played, is on the Now 54 CD. Calvin Harris, Tori Kelly, Kelly Clarkson, One Direction, Taylor Swift, who won 8 Billboard Music Awards. All of them are on the CD we're giving away right now. And today, the lucky listener who gets the CD is Emmanuel Hailu, who's in Seattle, Washington. And he comes to Seattle by way of Ethiopia. And he said, I listened to you in Ethiopia, and I absolutely had to follow you here in the United States, where he listens to us online on our live stream on the web. So Emmanuel Hailu, who works in a hospital in Seattle, I thank you for listening to our show and for your loyalty. And so you've won the Now 54 CD, and you also get this request. So congratulations. Here's your request. This is a song which is by a very famous singer from Ethiopia, Astor Aweke. And the song is called Yazo on Border Crossings. Border Crossings. Astor Awaka, originally from Ethiopia, she moved to San Francisco, California in her teens, and then she relocated to Washington, D.C. So she may be living right here, right now, right next door, and we didn't even know it. Originally from Ethiopia. Thank you for that request on Border Crossings. Yazo is the name of the song. And hope you enjoyed it. I'm Larry London. I would like to say hello to Joe and Lai Ivalist, whose mom is not feeling well. And so our thoughts go out to mom and hope she has a speedy recovery. And Jyota K. Murthy is listening to us in India, studying for annual exams. Thank you very much for listening to Border Crossings. Thanks again to Hollis Brown for coming in. And a thank you to Glenn, our engineer, Felicia and Vince, and Julie, our new intern, for helping to put the show together today. This is Border Crossings. I'm Larry London. I'll catch you tomorrow on the VOA 1 Music Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.